Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 76. This is the show about the TV, movies, comics, and books that you love. Every week we give you a little bit of geek news and then jump into the fandoms for discussion. This week we're going to be getting our Batusi on and talking about the last 50 years of Batman 66. I am Batman. Brandon. I'm Brandon Ushio, and joining me is the resident boy wonder, Nick English.
Gee gosh golly, Batman, I feel silly doing this.
Never mind that, Robin. Just keep dancing.
And Jeff Dumas couldn't make it, but in his place is a Mr. P.N. Gwynn.
Yeah, I see you boys have a radio show or something like that. It's interesting.
That was awesome.
Very nice. Mr. Gwynn.
I'm never going to regret doing that.
Well done, Jeff. I mean, Mr. P.N. Gwynn. What does the P stand for?
Don't worry about it.
Selling pre-atomic submarines to persons who don't even leave their full address? Good day, Admiral.
Oh, that scene cracked me up. We can talk about it a little bit later, but just the whole fact that the Admiral is just so incompetent and they're playing little games and stuff.
It gives you such, like, you know, hope for our, you know, military and who is in charge of it. I don't know. It didn't give a good light for the Navy in that day, I would say.
Definitely. I thought it was very interesting. We're going to be talking about Batman 66, the movie, and all that fun stuff. Let's start out, though, with the random fandom.
You're a wizard.
You are entering the random fandom.
This is the section of the podcast where we talk about the fandoms that you guys throw at us. You know, it can be anything, TV, book, movies, magazines, video games, anything that you guys like, and we will spend a few minutes and talk about it. This week, our random fandom comes from friend of the show, Jared Elder. He sent in Robotech, which he's talked about Robotech in his feedback a while back. He recently, after we opened up Random Fandoms, wrote in and told us that we had to talk about it. So Robotech is an old anime. In Japan, it was called Macross, and it was brought over to the United States in 1985 and called Robotech. The story was changed a little bit, but this was one of my favorite cartoons as a kid. Even before, like, anime was a thing, this was something that we had in my house because my dad was fairly good at bringing me into the geek kind of thing. So first few years of my life, we watched Robotech. My dad had it recorded on VHS. And what really blew my mind about that one was the airplanes, the jet fighters that they had. They were called Valkyries. They could transform.
Robots in disguise.
No, not like
that. Do you want to get sued?
Dang it.
We don't have license for that. We don't have
Sorry.
The thing that I loved about these jet fighters, though, is they had the Guardian mode, which they had this little, like, stick shift thing in the cockpit. And so one of them was for Guardian mode, and that was like an airplane, but then, like, legs sprouted out of the bottom of it and hands, and so they could walk around and, like, punch, and they could hold a gun and stuff like that, but they could still fly and maneuver like that and be fast. And then they had obviously they had their regular fighting mode. But then, oh my gosh, my mind just went blank. The last mode is called Battaloid mode. The Battaloid mode was cool. It would have full arms and legs, and they could fly a little bit, but they weren't very fast, but they don't take them on because they were really strong. And then my favorite, my favorite one was Skull One, which ended up being Rick Hunter's Valkyrie, but I'm not going to do too much of the story there because I think this is one that you should watch. It's available on Crackle for free. For a long time, it was on Netflix. I don't think it's on there anymore, and we'll talk a little bit later about how it's not on Hulu anymore either.
The only exposure that I ever had to Robotech, which is unfortunate, was that I had a toy, and with that toy, there was a VHS tape that was included with it. It was like a playset that my cousin had. I think it was Robotech Wars is what it's called. And it had two episodes on this video. So I watched those two episodes. And I think I even remember what they're called. One of them was like Battle Royale. And the other one was something about the end of the universe. Wow, I can't believe I remember that. But but yeah, that's the only thing that I ever saw. And I was always like, yeah, I want to watch this show. And I would always like look for it or try to figure out when it was on. And I never was able to find it. Or it was probably on while, you know, something else was on that my sisters watched. And so I wasn't able to ever watch it. But yeah, that was my, that's my Robotech. And I always get it mixed up with GoBots and Transformers, for obvious reasons, because they're very similar. And Voltron too. But
these Valkyries, they had pilots. It's more like Voltron. Yeah, I would say it's more like Voltron.
Yeah, so it's more like,
except
yeah.
they don't connect.
But I used to always have the GoBots because I had more GoBots than Transformers, which is kind of weird. I had the one GoBot guy that was a F-14 Tomcat. He was my favorite one.
See, but the GoBots didn't have pilots. But
their head would turn out like the little. Yeah, and I agree, but that's what I always had them fight. I'd have that's what my world was. Is I'd go over to my cousin's house, who I've talked about before, and you know he had all brothers and one sister, and that's the opposite of me. I had all sisters and one brother, and I was the only boy.
Wait,
and
you have so a brother? He, you know, you haven't told us about, Nick?
No, he was just my imaginary friend. Actually, I never had an imaginary friend, which is kind of sad, at least that I can remember, because I always just played with my sisters. But yeah, that was the battle that I was always have. But I was always the GoBots, and so I'd have to fight my cousin, who was the
I'm not sure what a GoBot is, now that you meant bring it up. I know Transformers. I'm not entirely out of it.
Yeah, GoBots was basically the ripoff of Transformers when Transformers was, you know, popular.
So I'm going to say this one thing, though. Like, the reason why Robotech is better than GoBots or Transformers or any of those earlier cartoons is it had such a huge universe attached to it. So, I mean, there's the original television series, and then there is, you know, they've got the first Robotech War, the second Robotech War, the third Robotech War, which focuses on different aspects. They've got a movie. They have that promotional tape that you talked about called Robotech Wars. They have a future one called The Sentinels, where it talks about, you know, where robotechnology came from. They've had comic books. Working on live action.
I mean, it's definitely, I definitely need to look into this more.
I remember back in seventh grade, I went to, you know, here where I live, in seventh grade, you go into a new school, and you're low man on the totem pole again. And I went in there not knowing a whole lot of people. And our English class, we had to bring a free reading book, and I brought Robotech. And the kid who was sitting next to me looked over and was like, dude, you read Robotech? So do I. And because there was like a huge amount of books. And instantly there, I made a friend. And I mean, nowadays people have their fandoms plastered all over. But back then it wasn't quite the same. But, you know, such an obscure fandom that, you know, he loved it. I loved it. We had lots to talk about. Other than Robotech, we didn't have a whole lot in common.
Common, really?
So we drifted apart. But yeah, so I mean, this has such a universe. They're talking about doing a live action movie in this.
Sorry, I Google image Robotech and like three or four images of Pacific Rim came up.
You know what? If the Jaegers could turn into jets and fly off, kind of.
Hey, they're writing another movie. They're writing Pac Rim 2, you know?
They are. That's true. It could turn into Robotech, but the Zentradi were giants. They had to have these Battleloids to fight the Zentradi because, you know, both of the Battleloids and the Zentradis were like three stories high. So
I remember playing a video game on like PlayStation 2. As well.
Yeah, was it Crystal Robotech. Dreams?
Something like that.
No, it was Battle Cry. It was Battle Cry. Crystal Dreams. Sure. So when Crystal Dreams was the one that got me to buy the N64. Because in my family, we my parents said you can have one console, and my cousins were all showing off their PlayStations and were like, "Oh, there's a Robotech game coming out for the N64. We have to get the N64." And then it was canceled. We still enjoyed all the games on the N64,
really?
But Battlecry came out for the PS2. And yeah,
that's the reason why I bought a PlayStation 1 was for Final Fantasy VII. So I totally understand like buying a system just for a game.
But you don't understand the pain of it never coming out.
That's true.
Yeah, that would be sad.
Our games came out.
Yeah, and Jeff bought Arkham Knight.
I really only bought an Xbox One so I could play that game.
So yeah, I mean, that's definitely a cool thing to do.
If you can afford it.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I do have good news. My Xbox One is coming.
Did you get the S, the slim one?
I did.
Oh, I thought I you did. Said you were getting just a whole bunch of Xbox I Ones. It. I didn't know you got the S.
Xbox yeah, One S.
That was a very confusing tweet, wasn't it?
I got the Xbox Ones.
Okay, so I think that's probably enough gushing from me about Robotech and how much I loved that. So I think it's time to jump into the top news. Our first news story that we are going to talk about is Suicide Squad came out, made a whole bunch of money, but the critics on Rotten Tomatoes panned it. They absolutely said it was terrible, which led to a revolt among many people online and they calling for the I can't think of the word.
Shutdown or whatever, like the Yanks, the whooping in town square. I don't know what they want to call it, but it was like this riot of people saying, let's close down because Rotten Tomatoes.
So there's yeah.
Yes.
There's
it's like we've turned into a mob, you know, like
Exactly. There's a conspiracy theory out there. Words are hard for me tonight. Let's just say that. There's a conspiracy theory out there saying that Marvel has paid off critics to give better reviews to Marvel movies than they do to DC movies.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm sorry. DC, if anything, Marvel's writing, hey, no, you go right ahead. Marvel has gone to DC and said, you do your cute little movies. What are you at? You're at your what, third movie? Sorry, we're still counting our money from the 13th, you know, and hey, they're still just as good as the number one.
Well, you know what? Suicide Squad opened bigger, that had a bigger, higher opening. I want to say it was $132 million than any other superhero movie had.
But does this count as a superhero movie? I know,
yes,
I know.
It does.
I just wanted to be that guy. Well,
comic book movie. Does that make you better? Make you feel better?
Just saying.
Just saying.
Okay.
Now, are we allowed to talk about the movie?
Because
I went and saw it with Jeff,
and I know you
went and saw it.
We went and saw it at the same time.
Let's say that there's a spoiler alert in effect.
We'll keep it vague.
And
spoiler.
Listen at your own risk.
If you don't like it, just skip forward every 30 seconds until we're not saying things like Harley Quinn and explosions and Deadshot and stuff like that. It'll work.
When Harley Quinn dies.
What?
I can't believe that Hermione is the love child of the
Joker. You
know
what? These movies are getting crazy enough that that's not too far-fetched.
Okay. You know what? You brought up a point there. The Joker. What did you think about the Joker? Because I didn't like him, but I don't know that I hated him. Like, there were some things that I was like, I can understand that, but
I think it's just, at the moment, it's too drastically far from Heath Ledger. I guess it's too much out of the way from what we're used to. You know, it's, yeah.
Well, even Jared Leto said that he filmed enough for just a Joker movie. And he was like really, really upset that there was not more footage of him. And I was like, I thought there was the right amount of footage of the Joker. Like, I didn't expect this to be a Joker movie.
You know, that from his perspective, I'd be pretty upset too. Like, no, I did all that. Where's my ex storyline or whatever?
I know that people have been complaining about they wish that they had seen more of the relationship.
Who was complaining about that? Because here's the thing. I didn't think that was an issue because I thought that it was good.
I didn't either.
I thought it was good, but yeah. I didn't think there was not enough of it.
Yeah, I thought there was just the right amount of Joker, just the right amount of Batman, that now I am freaking excited to see Batfleck versus Joe Leto. I don't know.
We'll come up. We'll find something.
Jared.
I'm just a little surprised that we're seeing this Joker without knowing his interaction with Batman, except for that one car chase scene, and they didn't really necessarily share screen time. Like,
and I wonder if that's part of why I didn't necessarily like the Joker, because to me the Joker always has to be balanced against Batman. They are yin and yang. Yeah. They are opposite sides of the same coin. And so this one was all about Harley and the Joker's relationship.
Yeah, and I thought the only thing... Yeah, and I didn't like that he was so, like, whooped. Like, and so I wondered if it was, like, they were showing more of, like, Harley's view of how the Joker actually views her instead of actually how he is. Because in my view, the Joker was... He always kept Harley around, but it was such an abusive relationship that he was just using her because he knew that she was, because
she knew she wouldn't leave,
you know, a tool, because he's a sociopath. Like, that's what he does. He uses people for an ends, and he realized that this person can help him.
I thought there was going to be a little bit of hope when he was like, when it was showing that I'm going to hurt you very, very bad. I was like, okay, this could be the Joker-Harley Quinn relationship that I'm expecting, but it wasn't. Sure. At the same time, and I felt really good for them when they finally got together again. Like, I was like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. Wait a minute, that's the Joker and Harley Quinn. Is that really nice?
Those are the most evil really people on the planet. I shouldn't be happy they're together.
Well, I love all of the, you know, tweets and stuff that talk about how Harley is, you know, shown in a bad light because, you know, she's got Stockholm syndrome and she's like whooped over this horrible person. I was like, no, that's her character and that's the story of her.
However, her character is supposed to be very smart still. And whenever she would scheme something, she always had a plan. She just played it off crazy. Where this one, I don't think she really had a plan. She was just crazy.
I guess I could see that, definitely. And the one part that like made me like say, okay, Harley or the Joker is actually like not, like he is the sociopath that I think he is, and he's not just like, you know, whooped over this girl, and you know that's the point, is when he throws her, you know, he's talking to her and says, "What would you do for me?" And she says, "I would die for you."
It's not enough.
Okay, well,
let's
find out. Yeah, it's not enough, would you, you know. And then she goes and jumps into the acid, and he's like, he turns around like he's just going to walk away, and he's like, maybe I should go back in there. And it's almost like that moment, the way I took it was like, he was like, you know what, maybe I don't need this, you know what, maybe I do need this girl, and I'll just go get her and play the part or something. But I know that's not what people want to hear, but like that's... You know, in the comics, she breaks up with him because he's not a good boyfriend. Like, you know, it's weird that they had a fairly healthy relationship,
the Joker and Harley Quinn. I mean, based as healthy as they could. But, I mean, he didn't ever hit her once. He didn't ever threaten her. He didn't ever, it's always.
He just pushed her into a vat of acid.
Yeah, he did. He shocked her like into nuts.
I'm gonna hurt you very, very bad.
I'm gonna hurt you very, very badly.
That was like Harleen Quinzel, not Harley Quinn. That's how
he
I'm
was making
out
her
of,
into
that's
what
how
he
I'm
wanted her
out
to
of this
be.
Argument is that okay. That was he, once he was.
All right, girls out there, watch out. This is how Jeff.
Yeah, but I mean,
no,
like,
I'm just kidding.
The other real Suicide Squad show I know, Assault on Arkham. Harley Quinn absolutely hates the Joker. Like when she sees him, she pulls out a gun and starts shooting at him. So it was interesting to see before that part, the healthier side.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved, okay. So here's the other thing about Suicide Squad for me is there were so many like solid performances. Like I did not think that I would care about Deadshot ever in my life. But Will Smith, he pulled it off.
Will Smith did a good job, like, but Kate, you know who did a terrible
Jenny
job?
Courtney?
The Enchantress.
No. I'm sorry, who
the
was
Enchantress.
That?
The Enchantress. I thought she was terrible.
The worst villain ever in the history of, like, that I can think. Well, maybe not ever, because I would say probably Galactus and Fantastic Four 2.
Doctor Doom and Fantastic Four 1.
The mist that was in Hulk or whatever, and then maybe the mist that was in the Green Lantern, Hal Jordan.
You know what? I was okay with Dr. Moon.
Those are the worst.
I was okay with Dr. Moon being like all like just messed up.
Which one's Dr. Moon?
Yeah.
But the human girl that Enchantress turns into.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I thought you were talking about
terrible villains from earlier. Anyway, continue.
But,
No. So I was okay with Dr. Moon being all scared and
afraid of,
just uncertain about herself, afraid, that's a good term. But then when she became the Enchantress and she still had those scared eyes, I was like, no, because there are so many actresses out there who can do such a good job of playing two characters. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Orphan Black.
It's on my list.
But the actress on there is amazing because she plays several roles, and it could be like a soccer mom or a crazy Ukrainian, and you can tell who's who. And sometimes she plays one of them playing one of the other ones. And it's all like, okay, there are subtle differences in this performance that I can tell this is this character playing that character. And she would have been amazing at that, and she could have done that great, but I didn't
Fair about Enchantress having the same scared eyes is that she was scared, kind of. Waller had her in a noose, so she could. I see that scared part of it, but you know, when they're played by the same actress,
yeah, like yeah. she had her heart, and so she was scared.
You know who
all
else I didn't like was Rick Flagg.
Because yeah, he wasn't terribly good.
He wasn't a hard A. Like, I want Rick Flagg to be like a hard A, and then they could have had the fact that he was in love and sleeping with Dr. Moon be like a plot twist.
Amanda Waller, she was spot on.
Amanda
dude.
Waller was amazing.
Like, she was awesome. Captain Boomerang
was pointless.
I don't even know why he was in the show. He wasn't even comedic. Yeah, he wasn't even comedic relief. Like, they could have made him funny, but it never really quite worked. Like, he was trying to be, and maybe they like reshoot and tried to make it, but it didn't really flow, and so that's maybe part of the reason that it, yeah, like he literally had no point in the show other than like, hey, let's kill the other guy. And so then they know the collar makes their heads blow off or whatever. Like, that's like that, and then he has a boomerang that has a video camera on it.
He was there for the sole purpose to introduce Flash.
Yeah.
And he,
other than that,
there's a scene where he runs off. And then 5 seconds later, he's back. Like, no, you ran. You need to leave now. Why did you come back?
You know, I kind of felt the same way about Killer Croc.
Yeah.
They didn't use him. He could have been hilarious. There was the one scene where in the bar where he's like, I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was awesome.
That was funny.
You could have been doing stuff like that the entire time. The whole rest of the time was just like...
Yeah, and they didn't even need him to go under and like swim under and put the bomb under. Like,
no, he distracted the things. So the GQ guy could do it. So
yeah,
Eastwood
I know,
could
but
do
it's
it.
Like that he easily could have been written out of the story.
Yes.
Well, there were a
like,
lot of
super
scenes.
Easily.
There's a lot of like, scenes where something's happening and Diablo and Croc are just sitting there awkwardly like, guys, don't fight. Like you're like
see,
watching...
I liked Diablo. I thought he was good.
See,
about
that, was that was Diablo's purpose. Like Diablo was the guy who was like, no, I'm trying not to be this.
I'm trying to be,
you know,
good.
And I was okay with the fact, I'm not going to say I liked it, but I was okay with the fact that Diablo wasn't contributing to the fight at all because he flat out, his character said, I don't want to do this. But
yeah, he's the only one that said, I'm good. I'll live my
sentence.
Well,
like
I'll
the
do
Katana
sentence.
Girl, she didn't really serve a purpose.
I mean,
either.
She was
like,
cool.
Okay,
she's
here.
I don't get why she was speaking Japanese to the sword or even to other Americans. Like, that's another pet peeve about
because how else are we supposed to know that the girl with the Japanese flag on her face is Japanese? How else are we supposed to know that?
Exactly.
I mean, Rick Flagg, obviously American, you know. I guess.
So those are the things I didn't like. The things I did like, Amanda Waller, spot on. Will Smith, awesome. I really did like Harley Quinn. I thought that she did great. I liked that.
Margot Robbie is the first one who's ever made me like feel sympathetic towards Harley Quinn.
Sure. Like, and I thought she was funny too, like the way she played it off. Like she was funny. Like I loved how she was playing off as naive all the time, but you knew that she wasn't.
Well, and I think
like,
a big
she knows what she's doing.
I think a big part of that performance was after she rejoined the team and you saw her flip that switch like as Harley Quinn. I was
sure.
That was awesome.
I guess that's true. I didn't even think
like,
about that.
Then it's like, oh, going back all the rest of the time, that just means her being crazy was just like a defense mechanism. So I thought that was cool.
No,
I left the movie and I thought to myself, that was a good movie. I didn't think to myself that was a great movie. I saw a bunch of holes and things that I'm like, well, I could have done this better. But I think a lot of that had to do with the fact, if you remember, after Batman v Superman
they
tanked,
did reshoots.
They did
they did reshoots.
Yeah, like half. They reshot like half the movie.
The biggest thing I have with this, biggest problem with this movie, is that they established that this is a world where Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, kinda, if you haven't seen BVS, Flash, they established that all these people are in this world. Where were they?
Big swirly things in the sky, and
the world is coming to a close. No, Batman's like, don't worry, I heard the villains are on it. Like, no, Wonder Woman's there. Like, even just show them tied up in the corner, show them beat up.
Well, and maybe we'll find that out
and
in
if,
the next movie.
I honestly wouldn't.
I think they need to address it for sure.
Yeah, like if Justice League's just like, hey, there's something going on downtown. We're dealing with something bigger. Okay, that's fine, but still, it's like.
Well, like at first, my thought was, well, Amanda Waller is covering this up, but then it was all over the news, and I was like, okay, well, then
no, you,
that just shot down.
Well,
my
I mean, how do you cover up the
whatever.
Swirly thing in the
sky.
Well,
and she was trying to at the beginning, but then it like didn't.
You can cover up when it's just the accident at the train station, but there's a certain point where Wonder Woman goes, "Hey, maybe we should stop looking for the Justice League and go deal with that." And Batman's,
Batman's like,
"No. Like,
you know what? The Joker is gone. Maybe I should go find him." Yeah. You know, or something like that.
Yeah. No, I think this movie was made specifically for the for a certain kind of person, and I can't quite describe, I can't nail down exactly who it is, but I know exactly who's going to like this movie and who's just going to say it was okay. Like, I can, everybody that has told me their opinions on the movie, I have not been surprised at all to hear what they thought, because it's very much sure. Like, people who feel they are very counterculture loved the movie.
Yeah.
People who, I can see that. I mean, it boils... I don't know how to describe these people, but like people who feel like they're rebelling against the man, I think a lot of them see Marvel as quote unquote the man when it comes to the movies. And you know what? That's okay. If DC is niching down on just a subset of comic book fans, I'm okay with that. But then don't turn it into a Marvel DC war, because Marvel is not niching down. Marvel is like mainstream general audiences. And mainstream audiences are going to make more money.
Don't get in a fight with Marvel. They'll win.
Well,
pick your fights, DC.
I mean, that's David Ayer. He yells F Marvel when he walks in to the premiere screening. And it's just like, you know, if you have such a good product, don't go in there bashing other people's product. Go in there saying, look how good my product is. But the second he yells F Marvel, he makes Marvel the golden standard on which he needs to be compared to. And
that's true.
So, yeah. I don't know. I liked the movie. I had fun.
So did I. I'm seeing it again.
I'll see it again. I mean, there was enough stuff that I was like, yeah, I want to see that again. That was sweet. That I will definitely watch it again.
This movie, it was definitely a step in the right direction. Maybe not a big enough step, but we'll see how it goes. It was a good course correction after... the wreck that was Batman.
Well, and a lot of that was the reshoots. A lot of the big flashy, bright animated, like when it was, most of the character introductions were reshot. That's what most of the reshoots
were.
That was
my favorite part of the movie.
And it's,
I loved that.
It was such
like,
a simple
I literally
way.
Got out of it and I was like, dude, I could just watch that part like over and over. That was just fun.
It was such an ingenious way to tell us about the characters who we technically, if you've only seen Man of Steel and BVS, like, you know,
you have no idea who they are.
It's such a great way to introduce them. Like, oh, by the way, here they are. Okay, here's the next one.
This is who it is. Yeah.
I don't know if I like this plan. Well, here's another one. Okay, I'm getting on board, you know.
Yeah. No, I think they probably could have even had that scene where Amanda Waller is describing what's going on shot already, but it could be plug and play with the introductions themselves. I had fun. I liked it. I think the reshoots were good. At times it felt like they were two different movies, the dark and gritty one versus the light and playful one. But I think for the most part it was pretty good. It's nothing to – there's a reason critics hate it, but critics hate a lot of fun movies. Oh, just in case you were wondering, don't take your kids to go see this one.
Oh, stop taking your kids to movies, period. They're all traps.
Yeah, DC movies, DC comic book movies are not like the MCU. They're not as family friendly.
Oh, come on. You mean Harley Quinn dancing in a cage?
Yeah.
While the Joker practically selling her?
Yeah, yeah. You know? And then also make sure that you stay for the mid credits. There's nothing at the end credits, but stay for the mid credits. There's something there.
I do want to talk about that if we can. It was basically just Nick Fury.
I want to talk to you about the Avenger Initiative.
I want to talk to you about the Avenger Initiative.
I mean, like, the Justice League.
Yes. Like, I was just like, okay.
And
like,
that scene would have been a lot cooler had they not just released the trailer for Justice League.
I guess that's probably the other reason why I was just like, oh, well, all right. Batfleck is growing on me a lot. Like, I think he's...
Because you have
Batman.
No choice.
No, I have a lot of choices. I can go back and watch like what 75 different actors that have played him, including voice actors. I don't know how many it is, but
that sounds about right. But there's only a couple that matter.
The best one. No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say something ridiculous.
The best one was Nick English in his high school production of Batman.
Anyway,
Suicide Squad. Well, go see it. Have fun. Don't take your kids.
See it and form your own opinion for a change. Jeez.
You know, don't listen to the fanboys who are yelling, it's the best movie ever. Don't listen to the critics saying, this is terrible.
Because they're both wrong.
It's somewhere in the middle.
Because you can make your own decision.
You're putting a lot of faith in me there, Nick. I don't know if I can.
No, no, no. Not you, the listeners.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes more sense. All right. So let's jump into the other news. The next news story is Pokemon based. We're trying to keep this to one news story, a podcast for those of you who are Pokemon adverse, like Jeff.
Excuse me. Well,
I'm level 20. I'm level 20.
Oh, you're catching up to me.
I'm trying.
So, okay, so the news that we have was, so last week we reported that it was sites like PokeGo and PokeVision were shut or were all turned off, and we said it might have been a cease and desist, but they were handling it fairly well and not being all cranky towards Niantic. Well, it turns out it's just because they were gracious about the way it was handled, because Niantic did send them cease and desist letters, and Niantic also explained why they did not want them going on. And it was basically because the way these sites worked, because there is no official API for this, the way these sites worked is they basically created thousands of virtual phones and logged into the servers and scraped all the data out of those virtual phones, spoofed to GPS locations, stuff like that. And, you know, the servers were having a hard enough time staying up without those on. So let's take these thousands of fake
devices.
Millions
and millions of users that we already have.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's turn those off. It makes sense. I would personally like them to provide an API. If you provide an API,
that's what I was thinking,
like
too.
An official way to access this that would limit the calls that you have, then it would be a great way for companies to create these services where it doesn't hammer your server and people can track their Pokemon. Because right now, you can't really track Pokemon worth anything, and it's kind of frustrating.
At all. It's really frustrating. Yeah. I've caught a lot less since that stuff has gone away, but I still have played every day.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's still a big thing. I judged a cosplay competition on Saturday at my county fair, and my kids came with me to it and stuff like that, and the gal who organized it didn't do a great job at organizing it, because she was like, cosplay, that's a thing, right?
Easy.
That's a word I've heard in the news.
She didn't even know the word cosplay.
Do we have
cosplay.
Anybody who wants to do it?
She didn't.
She called it COS play?
No, she was like, that costume contest thing that you guys do.
Oh.
But no, I mean, it was put on by 4-H and the county fair, where they were having a livestock show around the corner. But
perfect.
You know, going back to Pokemon, where they had us judge was right in front of a Pokestop. And she's like, I don't know if people are going to come and watch this. And so I said, I got this handled. So I took my phone, dropped a lure on the Pokestop.
You're awesome.
my kids got to use all my Pokeballs up while I was judging. That's and so we hilarious. Got a couple people filtering in from that.
And that's cool. Called working
exactly.
The system.
So if you don't like Pokemon Go, there is a way to use it for your benefit. And if you have a lore fairly close to you and you hate it anyway because you're an old crotchety get-off-my-lawn type person, you can go hey. And request to have it taken off. You can get rid of these Pokestops. So,
I didn't know there was a... I was just looking at my Pokemon Go app and somebody has a Starmie. I've never seen that.
I'm going to star you, but...
Yeah, he has a Starmie and it's in this gym. That's cool. He is Mystic as well.
Well, you know, us mystics, we have all the cool stuff.
Yes.
I saw a picture of like 1,000 Pokestops, and in the corner there were two Instinct gyms, and the caption says, this has to be Photoshop. There's no way Instinct can hold two gyms at once.
I don't know. Being a part of Team Instinct, I'm on a group, and they are definitely getting better and more stuff.
We're getting better. We're almost there.
There was a post about how we were holding the Eiffel Tower for a while.
Yeah, but then they just realized it's just a bunch of people actually physically holding on to the Eiffel Tower because they didn't realize what was happening.
That would be funny. Now there's always posts on there that's like, yeah, I took all of Provo. And you're like, they have a picture of
for
like
10
four
seconds.
Gyms. Yeah, or whatever. But you know what?
Hey,
10 seconds is
Provo.
All that it matters.
As long as you can get those coins, right?
You got to get those coins. There's so, like, I don't think I've held a gym for more than like maybe 5 minutes. But I've always got my coins.
I've had a few days on one, but it was very, very much towards
hiding
the beginning.
Hiding in the back of Tooele.
Well, no. I actually know people who do that, though. They go out to the most remote gyms that they can find so that they can use those. Yeah, so that's Pokemon Go. It's still a thing.
I think from now on, every time there's Pokemon news, we should just be like, yeah, Pokemon, it's still happening. All right,
still
next story.
Still there. That's just because you
story
don't
today?
Want to know what the news
know.
Is. All right, so like Jeff said, Pokemon, still a thing. So our next story.
Still there.
Hulu, which has long been the place where you can go to get free TV shows online, is now no longer going to be free. For the past year or so, they've been working on their subscription model where you've got the $11.99 no ads, the $7.99 with ads, and then the free. And all the deals that they've been making and all the work that they've been doing has really left the free out in the cold. And so they said, you know what? We're going to ditch the free and we're just going to have the paid. Most of the content that you could watch for free is going to go over to Yahoo View, which is a new service, which is interesting because Yahoo was just purchased by Verizon. So it's interesting to see how this happened because Hulu was kind of started as a competitor for YouTube because it used to be that you would throw pirated TV shows up onto YouTube and you would watch them there. And so Hulu, a lot of companies got together and said, you know what, let's make this Hulu site to compete with YouTube. And I think they were hoping to kill it off, but that didn't work.
Let's kill YouTube.
Down with YouTube.
You know what? Here's the thing. Literally yesterday, the day before I read this announcement, I said to my wife, "Is there anything you watch on Hulu anymore?" And she's, "No, not really." And I thought about it with the CW shows going away from Hulu and onto the CW app and the Netflix app. I was like, "You know what? I'm going to cancel Hulu and I'm going to use the money I was paying for Hulu and pay for CBS All Access, and that way when Star Trek Discovery comes out, I'll be able to watch Star Trek, but I can bill it as my wife gets to watch her Young and the Restless shows whenever she wants, because right now, if she doesn't watch them within a week, they disappear." So,
dun, dun, dun.
And how will she ever know who the father is?
Exactly. So I'm going to...
It was the demonic spirit of her previous lover.
No. Young and the Restless, there's not that magic kind of stuff. It's more like the evil twin brother that survived a plane crash that nobody knew about kind of a thing.
And got a sex change.
Yes.
You may be my half-brother, but there's no law in me killing the other half. That's a line from All My Circuits. I've been binging Futurama.
Oh, well, awesome. You know, that's a good one, too. So, yeah, Hulu's no longer free. How do you guys feel about that?
I've already been paying for it, so I'm not overly affected.
Are you gonna keep it, though? Because...
You know, That's challenging. That's difficult to say.
Is it worth it to you?
I'm not the only one that uses it.
Well, I use his account.
So, yes, it's worth it to Nick.
So it's worth it to him.
If I cancel, there's some people that would be fairly upset.
It's like, stop making him think of whether it's worth it to him or not.
No.
It's worth it to me.
You know, there's... No,
well, we let him use our Amazon Prime, and he lets us use his Hulu. Yeah, so we have a... arrangement.
So the second I cancel Hulu, they change their Amazon password.
Is that how it works?
No, it wouldn't matter. But you know, we watch a lot of shows that we normally wouldn't watch, but we could watch somewhere else on Hulu. So it's a good question. We might have to evaluate, Jeff.
Yeah, you know,
figure out what other service to buy.
You know what? I guess the one thing. This is the one thing. I watch a lot of wrestling on Hulu.
Well, that's it. It's going away.
They have WWE and SmackDown, and WWE, the thing I like about their Hulu is that Raw is normally 3 hours, but they cut it down on Hulu to an hour and a half.
They cut it out.
So they take out all of the fluff stuff that they have that doesn't really matter, and like the main story arcs that they're doing, they cut down to that hour and a half. And so I really like Hulu for that reason.
You know, I saw something on Facebook the other day that I almost shared with you. It was when Donald Trump was it WWE?
I remember that. Uh-huh.
And he was...
They had a hair versus hair match.
Yeah, and he shaved, was it Ed McMahon's hair?
Yeah, Vince.
Vince. Vince McMahon.
Ed McMahon was on Star Search.
Oh, that's right. That completely different
person.
Well, that
would be awesome. It would be like, yes, Donald Trump is going to shave Ed McMahon's hair.
For some reason.
What? I didn't win the Publisher's Clearinghouse. You're fired.
Yeah, no, Vince McMahon, thank you. No, I saw that, I was
that
like,
awesome.
And that's one of our presidential candidates. So,
yeah, there was like a huge thing with they each chose a champion, and then those people fought, and whoever won, the other person got to shave their hair. That was the story.
Okay, so speaking of wrestling, John Cena, he has been announced as a guest for Salt Lake Comic Con. And
I'm excited.
And that was
awesome.
That was really cool. And I really thought about for a second getting a photo op with him, but then I realized you wouldn't be able to see it.
Bunching.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I would totally do that. And I think Lena would like that as well.
Well, I'm going to say don't buy it just yet. If you've got limited photo ops, depending on when you listen to this, you may already, this may be old news. It's not going to be announced till the next morning. There is a big guest that from the Star Wars universe that will be announced on the morning of August 9th.
And Brandon's not telling us.
No, I'm not. So if you guys could have any guest from the Star Wars universe, who would you want on there?
Slave Leia.
Well, I don't know that Carrie Fisher is going to fit in that bikini anymore.
I know, I'm just kidding. I want the original actor who played Jabba the Hutt when he wore a fur
Jabba
coat.
Before they knew he was going to be a slug monster.
That's who I want. I want him to come to Comic-Con.
You know he still has that on his resume, or if he's alive still. Like, I don't mean to brag, but I was Jabba the Hutt. Oh, do you speak Hutt? No, I mean in a cut scene Huttese. That I talked to Harrison Ford. Boba Fett was there.
That's who I want. I literally would go talk to that guy. I'd be like, you are a legend just because of that scene.
Okay, so, but seriously, Jeff. Jeff, I'm going to just breeze over Nick because...
It's ironically not for Star Wars reasons. I would love Mark Hamill. He was
Joker.
Yes, the Joker. Yeah, he was in the documentary. I know that voice, and I need his signature for my poster.
Well, make your poster so expensive.
Yes,
though.
It would. Well, as it is right now, I'm already spending $100 this come con. But every time I get it signed, every person says, "I've never seen a poster for this," or they're amazed at like, "Oh, who?
Hey, I was. I was in
this
show.
Like, hey, who's that? Oh, it's John DiMaggio. Oh, and then that's Tom Kenny. Like, oh wow, oh my gosh, you." And so I've gotten quite a few signatures on there. I'm proud of it.
Yeah, but. You know, Salt Lake Comic Con is really good at bringing the voice
because,
actors.
Because Jess Arnell loves us, and he keeps bringing Twisted Tunes, so they have to bring a bunch of people.
And he also probably promotes it, and it's like, hey, you need to come to Salt Lake Comic
Con. Well, yeah, I mean, their manager, I can't remember his name
Jeff
all of a
Zanini?
Sudden. Yes,
he's
yes.
the guy that does Twisted Tunes.
Yeah, he's their manager, and he loves the fact that, well, Salt Lake Comic Con treats them like rock stars because
they are.
Technically, Jess Arnell is
because
a rock
they
star.
Are.
Just announced today that his band will be playing
like Sugar Rush. What's his like Sugar? That. What's
Rock Sugar?
Rock Sugar.
Sugar. Rock Sugar. That's right. It was.
So Rock Sugar actually, they got taken to court. You know, Jess Arnell, who does a billion voices, he's their singer, and he can mimic anybody's voice. So they did covers on some songs, and they got taken to court being like, you sampled our song and our music, and this is our singer, this is not you. And he was like, no, dude, I totally sang that. So, no,
that's
I mean,
crazy.
The voice talent is amazing at Salt Lake Comic Con. Yep. So I will say that this Star Wars guest has done voice work.
Ooh.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Who would your pick be, Nick?
In all seriousness. James Earl Jones.
Oh, that would be cool too.
That's who I want to meet because I like my voice. I like his voice.
I tell you, I would probably go and pay $100 to get him to record a "You Are Listening to the Fandom Podcast" bumper.
You are listening to the Fandom Podcast.
Oh, well, see, I don't need to pay anyone. Yeah. Nick can just do it for us.
No, yeah, we could do it. Like, seriously, let's start a GoFundMe or something. If that happens, we'll be like, okay, we need this.
So hear that. No, if you want new voices introducing the podcast, send us money.
Send us money on a link that is not created. You guys can figure it out, right?
Buy so much stuff on Amazon. Just buy all the stuff on Amazon.
Buy all of Amazon.
Yeah, buy
you
Amazon.
Got it.
Use our code.
I am going to buy Amazon and use
is Amazon
the
for sale on Amazon?
Link.
That'd be hilarious.
Can we do that?
Everything's
I don't
for
know.
Sale
if somebody
on Amazon.
Buys fandom, if somebody buys Amazon, can we use our affiliate link?
I hope so. Fandompodcast.com/Amazon. Go try to buy Amazon. Let's see what kind of commission I get on that.
You get like stock options.
No, that's that would be hilarious. But no, that's the way that we pay for some of the hosting, by the way. So if you really do want to support us, you can go to fandompodcast.com/Amazon. But I'm not going to push you guys because you know what? There's a bunch of you that go out and do it anyway. So, and I appreciate that like crazy. But I tell you, hosting a podcast is not free. So
there's been some pretty funny stuff that people have bought too.
You don't even know the half of it. Not even the half of it. Okay, so I think you'll just have to stay tuned to the Salt Lake Comic Con page and see who is coming. You guys, you won't believe who's going to come next. No, actually,
Click here to find out.
You will. It doesn't work on a podcast near as well. All right, so Hulu's no longer free. We somehow transitioned that into top secret guest coming in, which won't be secret after
tomorrow
morning.
Or today.
Well, depending on when you listen to this, it's August 9th. What day is tomorrow? Wednesday. Tuesday. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Tuesday.
Wow. Wednesday. Do I hear Wednesday? Thursday. Going once. Thursday.
Just to give you an idea of my schedule, this past week I have had a funeral. I've judged a cosplay contest, my aunt decided to get married, so we threw a wedding too.
Yeah, didn't you? You text me and said
my
aunt decided to get married today or something, and I was like, what?
Yeah, so my aunt, she has been this is her second marriage. She wanted to do it low key and just like go to the courthouse, but then some of her friends were like, no, we want you to do a reception. And she'd been trying for quite a while to get married, but with my grandma's health and all that, she wasn't able to do it, and things came up at work, and so finally they could get married. And she's like, you know what, I'm going to do it this Sunday. And my mom said, okay, we will throw the wedding, because my mom's a caterer, and so we know how to throw a wedding. And her friend planned a lot of it, and did, so we had we threw a wedding for 100 people at the drop of a hat.
That's cool.
I was like, yep, not going to have time to record tonight. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. We are okay.
Okay, but we are recording now. So
oh, shoot, we're recording this?
Yes. We are recording this. Okay, we're going to be talking about Batman 66.
Why am I talking on my phone then?
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was connected to you guys. I was having a different conversation entirely.
I was just talking to myself. What are you doing? What are you guys doing here? No, we're going to be talking about Batman 66, specifically the movie, which came between seasons 1 and 2. And this is the one that starred Adam West. It was a lot of fun. It's a campy movie. And Nick, this has been one of your favorites that you've mentioned a lot on the podcast. So why don't I let you tell us what it's about, and we'll go from there.
So when Batman was a child, his parents were murdered in front of him.
Which I don't know if they ever talk about in this series. I've never actually thought about that. I wonder if they ever talk about that in the series. I don't know if they did or not. But, okay, so Brandon, texted me and said, hey, let's talk about Batman. And I said, happily, right? I have no problem talking about Batman. And then he gave me the task of choosing an episode for us to watch so that we could do it. And I was just like, you know what? The episodes are so formulaic, and they're so just the same thing. It's almost like watching Law and Order for kids. It's like the same thing happens in every episode, like in order. I was like, well, probably the best thing for us to watch and to talk about would be the movie. Batman the Movie is what it's called. And the reason why is because it has performances from a lot of different characters and all, and so we could see the different types of characters. And so that's why I chose the movie. And I actually, I think Joe Dorowski commented on it on our Facebook page.
Yeah. So this idea came from Joe. He is one of the hosts on the Protagonist podcast. He said, because Nick shared the fact that the 60s Batman movie just turned 50. And he said, hey, you should do an episode on this. And so we're going to do that. And then he also came up with an idea for some more. And so we will probably do some more Batman stuff as well.
Sure. Okay. So the kind of the premise of this movie is that Batman and Robin get a call from Commissioner Gordon. This is how most of the episodes start, is that Commissioner Gordon, something happens and everyone's like, oh, what's going on? And he goes out to this ship. He gets a call that he has to go out to this ship and see what's going on. And so he gets in a bat boat.
No. Batcopter.
The Batcopter first. Which, when I was watching that scene, I was like, what? These guys have the keys to the Batcopter. I'm pretty sure that one of those guys went for a joyride.
Yeah, they called ahead to a hangar and said, hey, get the helicopter ready. And like a group of guys just got the helicopter.
Some guy gets out and the other guy jumps in. And I was like, dude, that guy has gone for a joyride in the Batcopter.
At least once.
That's his go-to pickup line. Hey, you want to go see the Batcopter? I work with Batman.
It's really funny. They filmed that in Los Angeles. And so I was watching this with my kids the other night, and they get in the Batcopter and they're flying over Los Angeles, quote unquote Gotham in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And my son says, "Dad, is that a temple?" You know, because we're LDS, and so we had just been talking about temples. He's like, "Is that a temple?" And I rewinded it. I'm like, "Yes, that's the Los Angeles temple." So
now be quiet. I'm watching Batman.
Yes, I'm watching Batman. Quit listening to the things that I tell you are important.
We're watching the last Batman you will ever be able to see while you're still a child. Because there's no way you're getting to see Batfleck.
Oh, there's cartoons. Cartoons.
That's true.
Batman the Animated Series.
Well, so. Still.
Anyway, sorry. The Batcopter. Yeah, that was the one scene.
So Batman and Robin race to go and look and see what's happening with this ship that, you know, has received a distress call because there is a Commodore Schlidlap. I don't know his name. Who is bringing a fantastic new invention from somewhere, and we don't know what that invention is. So Batman proceeds with Robin to go and find this ship, and they go down to board the ship to see what's going on. And all of a sudden, the ship disappears out of nowhere. And Batman, because, you know, Robin is driving this helicopter, and I don't know how he got his pilot's license, because he's underage.
Yeah, he's underage. I mean, there's even a part later where Alfred has to drive him.
Yeah, he can't drive the Batmobile, but apparently it's okay for him to drive this helicopter. So, and because he is inadequate at flying this helicopter, Batman is then dunked into the water and emerges with a giant shark attached to his leg. Now, during this time, Batman pulls out his ginormous walkie-talkie and pulls the antenna up and folds the little thing down and asks Robin to fetch the shark repellent bat spray. Whereas Robin puts the helicopter on autopilot,
which he should have done like an hour ago.
Something, and then proceeds to climb down the ladder, and instead of just handing Batman the shark repellent bat spray, he does an acrobatic backwards flippy move to hand him the...
I noticed that there was a whole shelf of different repellents. Oh, yeah,
there was Barracuda, Stingray, and I can't remember what the other one
was. He had to, like,
killer whale or something. Yeah, there's Barracuda. I remember Barracuda and Stingray, but I don't remember what the other one is. My brain is failing me right now. So they, you know, realize that the ship is gone. And so then they head back to report to Commissioner Gordon about what is going on. And then they proceed to say, okay, Bonnie, will you please bring up on the computer screen or the TV screen what super criminals are at large currently? Which... to me, I think Batman would know that already.
Yeah, I thought that same thing too. I was like,
just throwing it out there. But you know, it's a good little thing. And they find out that the Riddler, the Penguin, the Joker, and Catwoman are all.
But they figure that out beforehand because Robin said, "Well, we were out to sea for Catwoman, and that shark was pulling my leg." The Joker.
They're talking about that afterwards.
I've only seen it once.
They're trying to put together who it could be. He says, which one could it be? And then he says, which ones? He says, an exploding shark was pulling my leg. And it happened at sea. Sea for Catwoman. This all adds up to a sinister riddle. Riddler? Yeah. The first one, he talks about the Penguin. But the thought of it just is beyond what we could even think of. Their powers combined. It's just too much for us to think. So we need to figure out what's going on here.
Did either of you guys notice? So I'm going to jump back just a little bit.
No, go ahead.
So Batman does a press conference.
I love the press conference.
Where he is immediately asked to take off his mask.
Batman, take off his mask?
Well, it's Catwoman.
I know, but it was still...
What was going on? Is he bringing a fantastic invention? And then Batman proceeds to just lie out of his teeth. Like, he is just...
Yes, rumors. I have no idea.
The biggest liar ever. He's like,
rumors of a disappearing boat are ridiculous. Much like this
movie. Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's like, what happened to... we heard that there was a shark, and he's like, just, you know, he swallowed a mine. That's really sad. You know,
I didn't kill a shark.
Batman, you are a liar. A
he's like, I have no clue. I'm like, you could tell. I loved the fact that on Adam West's face, you could tell he's like, I am acting like I am lying, like I am telling the truth. You know, because he was like, I don't know the answers, but I'm going to pretend like I do. And Adam West did a good job acting that.
Well, and one of the things that I love about this series is one of the things that the directors always said is that they all knew that this show was just campy. Like, they knew that that was the point of it. But every single time that a new actor or actress would come in, and they were big names. Like, there are some huge names that played some of the, like, biggest and even not even big characters and villains in Batman, and they all wanted to be in it. Like Vincent Price and, you know, and obviously Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero was in so many things.
Yeah, like these were huge actors. And a lot of them, if you watch it, are in like all of the Bond movies. And, you know, like Jill St. James, is that her name? Jill St. James. Like a ton of these actors and actresses were in this. And even Frank Sinatra said that he wanted to be a part of Batman. I mean... And so these actors would come in and they'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to make it all campy and stuff. And the director's like, no, play it completely straight. And that's what makes it hilarious. Like, don't camp it up at all. Like,
did you know that Adam West actually, it hurt his acting career to do the Batman because he was being campy, but by playing it straight. And back then people actually thought that he was doing it, that he was not doing it on purpose. And so nobody would cast him in a serious role because he had that.
Well, and they would say, hey, I don't want my leading actress to be in bed with Batman or something like that, you know, or everyone is going to associate you as Batman. And so I can't make you whatever, you know, which is sad. I mean, but that's kind of what happened a lot in the 60s. And I think now they've done a lot better job at trying to, you know, not typecast people like that when they're in movies like this, but. Yeah, that's one of the sad truths.
Well, you know, and he actually had a stipulation for the movie saying, if I'm going to do this, I have to spend a lot of time as Bruce Wayne. I don't want to just be Batman.
That explains
that's cool. I didn't know that.
That's why there was so much with him as Bruce Wayne.
That's why they kidnapped Bruce Wayne, hoping Batman would rescue him. which is funny from the viewer's perspective, because you're just like, no, you idiot, because that's never going to happen. And Bruce Wayne says, I don't think Batman's coming. Well, why not? Just trust me. Just trust me.
So let's continue on with the synopsis of the show a little bit.
Okay, sorry.
Because we've actually come to a very pivotal part. So Batman actually says, okay, well, let's go back and look at our photograph that we took to see if we can find any clues on what happened with the ship. So he goes back to the Batcave with Robin. And they find out that the ship wasn't ever there, and it was a tricky mirage. And the bat camera's super powered bat lenses could see through its disguise.
Well, it was super fine grain film.
Yes, and it's awesome. And so then they look and they see that there is a little buoy there, and it's not registered. And so they suspect that this buoy that is not registered there has something to do with it. And they said, well, let's go see if there's any fingerprints on this buoy.
Well, so they I loved the computers doing all the calculation, because back in 66, that's kind of what computers were. It was just blinking lights. They didn't have the screens and stuff like that. So.
And then this, you know, receipt comes out and tells you what you want to know. Yes, you bought chips and a drink today.
You bought chips, drink, the buoy was unregistered, and the Joker did it.
And so, so they go, they proceed in the Batboat, which is actually kind of funny because they didn't really have a huge production for the first season of Batman. And so both the Batcopter and the Batboat were made for this show. And they made it, and then after the success of the movie, because they really didn't think that this movie was going to do well. Like, the whole reason that they made the movie is because they were trying to promote and, you know, help a second season happen. And then, much to their surprise, it was a box office success. And so, you know, they greenlighted the second season.
Well, so like, and when we, like what you were saying right there, it was a surprise. So the Batboat, built especially for the film, it was made by a company called Glastron Boat Company. And one of the stipulations, like, we'll build this boat for you, but you have to agree to hold the world premiere in Austin, Texas, in our headquarters. So yep. Not even a movie theater. This is how badly they thought the movie was going to do.
And then yeah. 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 So the other thing is that when this movie was showed to a focus group initially, it was the worst reviewed movie in the history of Fox.
Well, it's got an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Well, that's right now.
Which is much better than Suicide Squad.
That's true.
Yeah, but the difference is Batman holds up better.
Yeah, it was just funny. Like, I mean, it's so funny how just it lowest test score in test audience in the history of the ABC network. Like, I mean, it's just,
well, if you think about it, Sharknado has three movies that have come out. So some things are so bad that they're good.
If you ever,
yeah, that's true.
If you ever think your idea is stupid, just remember someone greenlit a movie about sharks in a tornado.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, so let's cut to the chase. This is taking too long.
Sorry.
So Batman.
So Batman discovers, he figures it out, and then the Penguin is in his underground submarine, and he sees that Batman's on the buoy, so he makes he turns on a magnet, and all of the magnetic things in his utility belt make it so that Batman and Robin cannot escape from it, and then they fire torpedoes at him. And with Batman's cunning, with his radio frequencies, he's able to blow up the torpedoes before they actually reach him. And the very last one, the batteries die in his radio transmitter, and a brave porpoise flings himself in front of the torpedo to save Batman and Robin.
We're not making any of this up. This all happened. This is a thing.
So the four villains are celebrating because they think that they have finally destroyed Batman, but the Riddler thinks that he saw something, and so then, you know, because the Riddler is who he is, he decides to give Batman and Robin a clue onto what's happening.
This is such a Riddler thing to do, too.
It's one of my favorite things, because it's like Batman says, okay, Robin, you know, what is the answer to this riddle?
What has yellow skin and writes? A ballpoint banana.
And then he's like, what kind of... And he's like, obviously. And then he says, what people are always in a hurry? Russians. And he's like, so what is the connection? And Robin says, somebody Russian is going to slip on a banana peel and break their neck. And he says, the only possible connection. And I was like, wait, I can think of like 10 more. Like,
you know, like, what's the other one? What does a turkey do upside down and something else?
What does a turkey do upside down? It gobbles up.
Yeah.
And then... okay, so the next one is... Commissioner Gordon reads this one and says, what weighs 6 ounces, sits in a tree, and is very dangerous? And Robin, and this was my favorite thing about the 66 thing. Like, Robin got riddles like, oh yeah, can't you tell that? When I was little, I remember thinking to myself, I didn't get that at all. Like, not understanding that it was one of the jokes. But the thing that is dangerous, sits in a tree and is 6 ounces, is a sparrow with a machine gun. And after Robin says that, Commissioner Gordon says, yes, of course.
It's like, obviously.
It's like, okay, all right. So, yeah, I love Robin and his coming to the right solutions to the riddle, even though it's just completely random.
Well, and he's just he's always so absolute, which is what I like about him, too. He's just like, yes, Batman, this is what I can contribute, so I'm going to. Like, and I'm just like, good for you, Boy Wonder. Good for you. But, like, yes, I can turn the atomic batteries on and the turbines, and then Batman can go. Like, that's my job. All right? So now we come to the second part of the story, because now Bruce Wayne, so now Batman has said, okay, well, the only Russian person that I know who I actually have a crush on now, so I'm assuming that it's this person, is somebody who we haven't actually brought up yet and was at the press conference. It was the reporter, and it's Catwoman, who is disguised as Miss Kitka, Karana Kanita Kavinsky Zazaza, or whatever.
From the Moscow Bulletin or
from
something.
From the Moscow Bugle.
Oh, that's right.
And he says, you grace us with your presence. So he says, okay, well, obviously they're trying to, you know, do this. And the whole plan of these guys is that they're going to kidnap Bruce Wayne, who is, you know, a predominant you know, member of society, and so Batman couldn't resist trying to rescue him. And then what they're going to do is use all of their powers combined to kill Batman, because that's what they have to do. And so they're going to lure him into a trap with the Riddler's riddles. And the Riddler is the one that comes up with this, which is pretty funny, which I think is cool. And then he says, we're going to have the Joker's Jack-in-the-Box fling him out the window over the sea into the waiting arms of the Penguin's exploding octopus. Because we've already used his exploding shark, so we have to use the other
Again,
exploding
thing. Someone got paid to write this. We're not making this up as we go
and
along.
And I wish that I was that person.
Someone had to write down Jack-in-the-Box, exploding octopus. Yeah, it works for me. Sorry.
I will incapacitate the... The other part I like is that the Joker, all of his, like, things are always party-themed. And so, like, when the cat is coming to, like, you know, Hecate, who is Catwoman's cat, he's like, you better get that cat away from me, or I will incapacitate the beast with my trick confetti. And it's like, I want some of that confetti. I haven't seen that a
this
lot
seems
in the
like
new
such
Joker.
He's such a pleasant Joker.
More often.
I mean, oh, Jack in the Box. That's
well,
great.
Well, I love that he's like so happy that he's the one that gets to go and like... Because they kidnap... Okay, we didn't get to that part, but they kidnap Commodore Slidlap, and they trick him into thinking that he is on a boat all the time by putting a bucket on the ground and having one of the henchmen flip it with a flipper all the time, and then like have salty sea air and like make noises outside of a room so that the Commodore can just sit and read his Dickens all day.
Can I say
sailing on the boat?
I think the best thing about this movie were the villains and how they were all working together, and it was just ridiculous. And they still Absolutely. Managed to get stuff done because, I mean, they formed the United Underworld, and they had a logo and a mascot and everything. And
it even had an octopus on it.
Octopus strangling a world. Today, Gotham City. Tomorrow, the world.
So, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to use that as the cover art for this episode. So
I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
But yeah, but like the Joker is so excited to be in charge of this. Like he's like, oh, that's the Commodore ringing for his tea. And the Joker's all pissed. And Penguin's like, oh, wow. And then the Joker's like, aha, coming. Like, I'm super excited to be tricking this guy. And then he's like, I do have to say, young chap, have you been getting enough of the good old sea air? You have the most ghastly complexion. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, but my duties keep me mostly undercover, sir. And it's just like, this is brilliant. I think it's hilarious that this guy is just like completely oblivious to the fact that this guy with green hair and white skin is serving him tea every day.
It's weird to me to not have the Joker just be a household name. Like, why is the Joker not public enemy number one? You know, like, the world should know.
Well, that's just in
the
Gotham
Joker.
City.
Don't trust him. But this guy's like, oh, you look awfully pale. Like, oh, I know, sir. It's just like, who wrote this movie? Sorry.
See, and this is it's just so funny. Oh, I love it. So, anyway, so yeah. So they kidnap Bruce Wayne, and then Batman never shows up, and they're all confused. And well, and I like the scene when they're like trying to wait until they kidnap Bruce, like Miss Kitka or whatever, and like Robin is like spying on them with the camera, and he keeps turning it off. And he's like, I can't watch this.
Alfred's driving around wearing a mask.
And his glasses are on the outside.
Oh, there's so much about this movie.
But yeah, I love that, you know, Robin's just like, it's just not right for me to watch in on this. They're kissing. That's, oh, I can't watch this.
Well, I like how there was like the subtext of Alfred being like, no, I want to watch this.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking too. It's like, Alfred's like, no, we were supposed to watch. Didn't Batman say that that's what we're supposed to do? And he's like, yeah, but I just don't feel right. And he's like, okay, Master Robin, whatever you think.
I guess.
You know? I guess. But yeah. And I love that they're riding on
umbrellas.
Flying umbrella. Umbrella. Rocket launcher speedster things. I don't know what to call them. I guess like speeders, like in Star Wars.
They were, they called them umbrella jetpacks. So, like I said, I was watching this with my son, and he thought they were going to be like backpacks. And then,
for sure,
he shows up, he's like, Dad, what are they flying on? And I was like, they're umbrella jets. And he's like, oh. It was really kind of funny because we think very differently nowadays than they did back then.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I can't wait until I can like watch this with the Cobra and have those moments with you. I'm kind of like envious of your being
able
to do
that.
He's
going to see the next Batman because I think he'll still be too young for Batflick at any point. He'll see the next one like, wow, that's so cool. And like, Dad, you know about this? Oh, you have no idea. And then you show him this and he'll have the same reaction I'm having right now of this is a movie?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have to wait for the Cobra. You can just watch Jeff enjoy Batman for the first time because he's kind of young and has never seen Batman the movie.
Yeah, this was my first
first
time seeing anything Adam West Batman. And
Wait. This was your first time seeing anything Adam West Batman? I knew it was the first time you had seen the movie, but wow.
Yeah.
Where have you been living? You were like deprived as a child.
I had the animated series. I had Batman Beyond.
It's still on syndication. There's a local channel that we can turn on. I think it's Friday night.
You could turn on maybe.
And it's a local channel. It's over the air. Yeah. It's over the air.
So let me just put you in the mindset I was in. The day before watching this, I had just watched Suicide Squad. Then the next day, an hour before watching this, I had watched The Killing Joke. So my head was not ready. My mind was not prepared for this super over-the-top movie.
Campy Batman?
Cesar Romero's mustache.
So in one weekend, I saw the whole timeline of the Joker. I saw the beginning. I saw the be-all, end-all story in The Killing Joke. I saw whatever Jared Leto was doing. I've seen it all now. And it's weird. I'm sorry, but yeah.
Now, the real question is, did you enjoy it?
I wouldn't mind seeing it again. Does that count? I mean, I don't know if it's good. It's
yeah,
not like
for sure.
Batman v Superman where I was like, oh, I don't know if I ever, it didn't like hurt me, but it was still like, this is something that I think if I hear someone like, I've never seen anything Adam West, I'm like, oh, it's my turn to tell someone about this movie. It's my turn.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, and you know what? I think that if we achieved anything
is
today,
that we tricked Jeff into watching
that.
An old Batman?
No, we didn't trick you. We just introduced you to a fandom that you had never seen before. And that's what our podcast is all about, right?
Exactly. So,
that's awesome. So, okay, let's wrap this up quickly. Because this synopsis is turning into actually just the movie. You could have just watched the movie by now.
One of my favorite parts is after he escapes, he goes back. Bruce Wayne escapes, spoiler. But Bruce Wayne gets back and he grabs Robin and starts to walk upstairs. And Commissioner Gordon's there. He's like, oh, thank goodness you're alive. And he goes, oh, I escaped with the help of Batman. Yeah, he helped. Oh, good. Oh, you should run back. I think he wants to call you. Oh, I'll run now.
He might be trying to contact you at police headquarters. He's like, by Jove, you're right. I should get going.
Just like, get out of my house.
Okay. And then they walk back down the stairs. Because they're like, we're going to fake him. We're going to fake him. And go
I've decided
upstairs.
I want to make a bust that the head hinges and there's a button on the inside. I don't know what it'll open yet, but I just want that.
Yeah. I kind of want that too. Just like maybe that's how my TV is revealed. Just like got a little like
No. It is fireman poles with instant costume changer
with a sign that says Batman.
But that's how I would get in, and that's how I would get into my painting studio.
Oh, jeez.
Figured it out. When I can build my old house, that's what's happening. I'm having a fireman pole to go down to my painting studio.
Funny
story about that pole. Jeff has a lot of experience with poles, which we've talked about. I'm
just kidding. Hey guys, guess what I just found on Amazon?
Amazon?
No, literally. I have not tried that yet. But on Amazon, I found a bust of William Shakespeare where the head flips up with a button inside of it.
I want it.
I don't know if it's a functional button.
My birthday is in November, just so everybody knows.
It's not too expensive. It's only $85.
Easy. We can do that.
I think I could build that easier than that. Just need a bust, cut its head off, reattach the head.
That's pretty sweet. I'm going to... Okay. So anyway, I want to tell you a story about the pole.
Okay. Tell us a story about the pole.
So the set was set up for, you know, Batman and Robin to go out is they would switch that switch and it didn't always work. And so there were actually times when Adam West and Burt Ward would run and the door wouldn't be open enough. And so then they had to retake all the time because it didn't function very well. And there was one time that it just barely worked And it was like the first take, and they were super excited about it because they always had trouble with this. And they went flinging down the poles, and the poles were 15 feet down, and they just had a mattress at the bottom, right? And when they got down to the bottom, there was somebody who was sleeping on that mattress and had spent the night at the theater, and they didn't realize that they were filming yet, and so they landed on top of this guy as he was sleeping.
Oh, that's what you get for sleeping on the job.
I don't know how he got into the studio, or, you know, or if he was like a stagehand or something. But yeah, he had spent the night there, and he slept on the mattress down there. Anyway, we forgot to talk about how they actually kidnapped Bruce Wayne. But the Penguin has this really funny thing that he does. It's kind of one of the best scenes with Burgess Meredith.
When the Penguin dresses up as the Admiral, and they know, like, Penguin, we know it's you. No, it's not. It's me, the Admiral. And they have to keep, like...
That's what happens next.
Like, we'll test his fingerprints. They're covered in plastic.
They're like, I'm sorry. I work on the docks, and it burns my fingertips. So he's like, oh, well, we better take him back to the Batcave to see if he's actually the Penguin.
This movie, man.
Yeah.
Like, we need to know what this guy's doing. That's what happens
this
next.
Movie.
So it's a good movie. So this is when we actually find out what the amazing contraption is that the Commodore is bringing, the new invention. And we find out that it is a dehydrator cannon gun.
Why not?
That will dehydrate anything that they have, including people, and then you can then rehydrate them in any place.
So what happens if he points it at the ocean?
That's a great question. So what I think, okay, see, and here's the other thing, is where does the moisture go? It goes into the little thing. So if he pointed it at the ocean, it would probably just fill up until it was done. And then, you know, once it's at its max capacity, then it wouldn't be able to do anything, right?
Well, so their plan, once they have this dehydrating thing, is to go to the UN and use it on the people. Well, it's not called the UN, but... And then, well, yeah, they sneak,
but,
like...
But at first, they want to go
sneak
and kill
the
Batman,
guinea pigs in.
Right? And so the Penguin dresses up as the Commodore, and then he tests the gun on his henchmen, and then he brings
guinea
them out...
Pigs.
He says, bring out the five guinea pigs. And they say GP1, GP2, GP3, GP4.
We need to find people and cosplay as that. See how many people get it.
I totally,
Lena, if you're listening,
totally
make those sweaters.
I totally want to do that. You know what? I have connections to make shirts.
And by connections, you mean your wife?
No, by connections, I mean people I work with actually
right.
have like T-shirt shops. Yeah, that would be good, but we need five people. So let's see. We've got I can count four, and then we can include Brandon, but he's going to be at Comic-Con most
but,
of the time.
But, you know,
so maybe we can
for
just
a photo op or two, I could put on a shirt.
Oh, if only Adam West was coming.
If only.
If only the Penguin was coming.
Unfortunately, I do not believe he's still alive.
Yeah.
So his plan is to get into the Batcave. So, you know, the Penguin is trying to get into the Batcave. He's pretty sure that Batman's just going to take him there. And then he can rehydrate all of these guinea pigs to help him fight, and then they will be able to take out Batman. Now, here's the question. The Penguin has fought Batman a lot of times, and why did he only choose to bring five people? Because Batman and Robin have beat up more than five people a lot of times while the Penguin has been around.
Well, that's all he can sneak in.
Maybe that's true. And I love how they're like in his pants.
Yeah,
like, he's pulling out this big long cord as he's like, oh, you know what? I'm sorry, but you know, your bat gas has just put in this, you know, ghastly taste in my mouth. Could I trouble you for a drink of water? And then Batman says, it's clearly marked over there. And there's a huge sign that says, drinking water dispenser.
Well, everything is clearly marked in the Batcave. That is one of my favorite things about that.
You're saying it labeled bat drinking water dispenser?
It's not. It should have been. That's a continuity error that we need to bring up.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay. All right. So he rehydrates his guinea pigs, and they attack.
He accidentally rehydrates them with hard water that they use for the nuclear reactor instead of the soft water that would be for the drinking water. Now, why you would only have a lever to separate those two things, you know, just for the mistake of, oh, you know what, I'm going to drink this nuclear water.
Do you have to keep those two boxes so close together? What the heck?
Now, I do have to state something that is kind of funny about this. Up to this point, every fight scene that there has been has not had a pow or a punch or a whap or anything.
There have been the noises, but that's about it.
But they haven't had the things on the screen. And the reason why is because up to this point, Batman and Robin haven't actually fought anybody in their costume. And it still doesn't happen during this part because when they hit the characters, they just disappear and explode into nothingness. And they don't explode. They just disappear. And then Robin says, oh, what happened? And Batman, you know, sadly says, you know, because they were rehydrated with this atomic water, whenever they came in contact with anything, they were instantly, you know, dissolved, or I don't remember his exact words. And so it's, you know, it's a very sad moment for both the dynamic duo because they don't like to kill and they accidentally did, but it wasn't their fault.
Okay, so right here is another thing against the Batfleck naysayers. Batman does kill.
Oh, yeah, he killed back in his first movie.
Even if it's by
early
accident.
Movie.
Even if it's by... But he still kills.
Well...
Yeah, he does.
How often does Batman use the I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you excuse?
Not in this show, he doesn't.
Well, to be fair, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Nope. So then Batman and Robin have... Yeah, so now Batman says, oh, well, you know what? Clearly the Commodore was just, in trouble. You know, he decides that the best course of action now is to let the Penguin go so that they can then follow him and find out exactly what they're trying to do with this, you know, contraption.
With the Ron Popeil food dehydrator.
Jeez. So then Batman, we're going to cut this short. He finds out that they're going to attack the UN, the United Nations.
United World Security Council.
Security Council, that's it. United World Security Council. And Batman stops them. Let's just put it there. Because they're all there. And then they ride off into the sunset. So if you want a better...
if you want to know ending, what actually happens.
I'm going to let you watch the end of the movie because we are over time.
Yeah.
right now. But a few things to note, okay? So just the best thing about this, about the Batman series, in my opinion, is, like Brandon said, the villains. And all of the people that they brought in were just amazing. Like a few just funny little notes. Burgess Meredith had not smoked for 20 years before he became the Penguin. He had actually quit smoking, and then for the part, I guess, they said, you need to smoke. And so he started smoking again. It was a different time. And and it actually made his throat hurt a lot because he had tried to quit, you know, and his signature thing was having, you know, the cigarette holder with the cigarette at the end. And so his signature laugh that's like was actually because his throat hurt, and it was like improv, and then they were like, keep that, we like that. And so because he had to start smoking again, we got that, you know, that laugh that he has. Frank Corshin, the Riddler, actually was nominated for an Emmy for his portrayal of the Riddler in this show.
Can I tell you, he acted the crap out of that thing. I mean, all the other ones were great, but it was like Frank Gorshin was like doing Shakespearean acting while everyone else was just having a good time. He was like being
dead
serious.
All over the place. Like, he is nuts. Like, he is jumping off the walls, you know, like, it kind of reminds me of when like Robin Williams does stand up and he's just like all over the place like that. And it's kind of funny to watch him on his episodes. Like, I actually think the very first episode is with the Riddler in the first season. And it's funny when we say seasons, because it says, okay, it had three seasons. Well, now three seasons would be like 12 episodes a season. There are actually like 120 episodes in these three seasons. So, you know, what we would consider three seasons now is not three seasons back then. You know, I mean, there's a ton of episodes of these. So just kind of keep that in mind when we talk about that. But yeah, he is just all over the place. And it's, I always feel kind of bad for his henchmen because they are just overshadowed by him because he's just so fun to watch. He's just all over the place, just bouncing around, which is funny.
You know, when I was a kid, I grew up about the time where Jim Carrey was the Riddler. And so for a long time, I thought Jim Carrey's portrayal was the Riddler. And then I started watching the Batman 66 stuff after that, and I was like, you know what? Frank Gorshin, he is the best Riddler I've ever seen. And I don't think anyone can hold a candle to him.
Yeah, and you know, that's a debate for... That's always fun to have.
How many Riddlers have there been? Two?
Riddle me this.
There's been...
Not counting animated?
Well, yeah, two? I mean, there's animated. That's what I'm thinking of. There's a lot of interesting ones in the animated series. Like, the Batman, he's like a goth, like, crazy weirdo.
That one was weird.
I don't know. Anyway.
The whole series was weird.
And in that one, the Penguin is like, can flip around and is like a ninja, which is pretty interesting too. That was really weird. But anyway,
Burgess do that.
So let's just talk about some of these people because I mean, this is what makes the series so amazing. You know, Cesar Romero, everybody talks about him. You always talk about how he refused to shave his mustache. And so it's just funny to look at him that he's got this like white mustache as the Joker.
Well, when TVs weren't HD, it wasn't so
noticeable.
So such a big deal. But now that they're HD, you see those hairs.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome.
Except now when DC says we want you to be the Joker, are you willing to shave? You say yes. You cut all 12 inches of your hair off, Jared Leto.
Now, the one thing that is really funny is the Catwoman. Especially in the series. Catwoman was actually played by three different actresses in the series. The first season had Julie Newmar, and she is often known as the most sexy of the Catwomans in the original 66.
Yeah, but Lee Merriweather, who was in this one, she was Miss America in 1955. So,
which is true.
Did you doubt him? What's...
Well, and I'm just saying, like, this is just, you know, online. You can have your own opinion because I think it's funny that, like, all of them, like, she definitely made it her own. And this is the only time she appeared. And the actual reason that Julie Newmar was not in this movie was because she was off making a movie that you've never heard of. Like, you literally, like, if I said the name of the movie, you would have no idea. And I'm pretty sure that, like, no one's ever watched it. Since, you know, 1975 or something, you know, I don't know. But it's just kind of sad, or I mean, not sad, but it's just interesting how, like, stuff like that happened. And then after that, she was replaced by an African-American woman, which was actually pretty awesome, especially for the time. And her name was Eartha Kitt, which is kind of funny.
That's a little on the nose.
Kitka. Yeah, like it was just really odd. And she actually brought her own thing. And actually, Orson Welles was quoted saying that she was the most exciting woman in the world, Eartha Kitt. So, and she was a Broadway musical star. And then she, you know, made it into mainstream as she brought her version of Selena Kyle to the show. It's just kind of funny little things that while you're watching the series, if all of a sudden Catwoman is African American, that's why. Like, it was just...
Well, and nowadays, random. they would like, write something into the show about, like, oh, well, Catwoman fell into this thing and needed drastic plastic surgery, and that's why she looks different now. But back then, it was just like, nope, new Catwoman, just deal with it.
But, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, like, go and just look at some of these villains. Like, Egghead was, like, made for the show, and then he was written into... the comic afterwards.
Batgirl was the same thing. She was created for the TV show.
The series. Yeah. And that, you know, and that she was actually going to have her own show originally. There's actually a pilot out there. If you search, you know, do your searching, there's a pilot that's just for the Batgirl show. And then they decided to put it into the third season.
So they were going to do a second movie even and introduce Batgirl and then have her own spinoff show. But, yeah, the ratings were slipping, and so they were like, well, let's just put it right into the show and see if we can save it.
Yeah, and there's always, you know, the talk of you know, Adam West accidentally, quote-unquote, you know, groping the girls. Or, you know, I mean, there's so many just random things. And there's actually a book that Burt Ward released, and it's called The Boy Wonder Something in My Tights or something, like Life in Tights or something. And he basically talked about how, like, I mean, he just talked about all of this slanderous stuff. And everyone was like, okay, well, I guess we kind of believe it, you know. And then later on, he said, I made it up. Like, he actually came back and said, I had a lot of pressure from my editors to embellish some of the stuff that was going on so that we could make sales. And he later retracted what he said. So you're welcome to go and read that book, but don't take it by, you know, by any means, don't think that it's true. Because he talked about how he was like, women were always coming to the set, and him and, you know, Adam West just had women slewing all over him, and he was this great lover, and Adam West was not, and he was known for not being a good lover. And, like, I mean, there was just all sorts of just random stuff in this book that it was just like, okay. And then he later just said, you know what, I embellished a lot of it. And even Adam West came out and said, yeah, I read it, and I'm pretty sure that he just was trying to get book sales, but a lot of it's not true. But they always say a lot of it's not true. So you always wonder, what is true? One other funny side note is that Batman and Robin, because they had their underwear on the outside, there was actually a lot of people that were very mad about that their bulge was showing. And this was also during the time that I Dream of Jeannie had to cover up her belly button. And so there were a lot of measures that were taken to make it so that there was nothing to show. And that's one of the funny things that's always, like, if you look at the costume, like, it's very flat there in that area, and it always is, and it's always very confusing, and there's a reason for that. It's because there were a lot of religious
groups. That's not how human anatomy works. Saying,
yeah, it's not how human anatomy, wow, works. But yeah, I mean, I could sit and talk about this forever, but this has been a very long time.
Between
podcast,
talking about Suicide Squad and the Batman 66 movie, we are getting a little long here. But I think it just goes to show these are basically both Batman movies. Yes, the Suicide Squad has Batman for about 30 seconds in it, but it's basically a Batman movie. Most of the villains there are Batman villains. And so so it really goes to show that there are so many different takes that you can do on Batman, and there's somebody for every take on Batman. So no matter which Batman is your favorite, you're right.
Well, and I like to think of this episode as my version of Random Fandom. It's like, this is Nick's Random Fandom. This is what I would have chosen. You know, if I was going to write one in, I would just say, you know what, let's talk about 60s Batman. And I'm just going to say one last thing, because I think this is a really kind of funny and just interesting thing. It's kind of an urban legend, so I don't know if it's really true. But the legend goes that the legendary playboy Hugh Hefner had a party because he really liked Batman the comics. He's kind of known as having of really liking comic strips and Batman and stuff like that. And so he had a party where he had people dress up as Batman and Robin, and then they would go around and talk about lines from the comic book. And one of the producers, or, you know, bigwigs of, you know, wherever, went to this party, and they thought it was really funny that Batman and Robin were campy, and he really liked that, and he saw that the people at the party really liked it. And so then he immediately went and called, you know, ABC and said, I have an idea for a new Batman show. And that's how this series kind of came to be. Whether or not that's true, the man's name was Yale Udoff, who was kind of the one that pitched it. But it's just kind of funny that, you know, he went to a payphone, like, literally during that party and pitched the show. And you know, we've talked about creativity, and we've talked about, you know, getting ideas anywhere. And it's just kind of an example of how something so simple or odd can lead to something that was really fun and kind of changed the course of history. Because this, and I say that because this show actually helped revamp the Batman comic. It was not doing very well at all. It was lingering and dwindling in sales. And it wasn't until the first season of this show that even Bob Kane said that the comic picked up again and they were able to kind of revitalize it. And so this show, if you're a Batman fan, in some ways and in a, you know, subtle way, made it so that we could have all of this amazing fandom that we have now, because we might not have had all of the Batman that we've had
without the campy. You can't have the dark and gritty. I mean, that's just how it goes. You gotta make it mainstream enough, and sometimes that means making a vanilla whitewashed character, and sometimes that means going to one extreme or the other. But if you don't have both of those extremes on there, people aren't going to like it. So, yeah, the Batman fandom has a lot to thank the 66 Batman for, whether you like it or not. So.
Yep, and I love it. So I'm super happy with all Batmans.
Okay.
That have stemmed
from this is a great starting point, because it basically goes to show you can't get any sillier than this, so let's see what you can do. All right. Jeff, do you have any last thoughts on Batman 66?
It was weird. No, it was good, but it's like I said, I had just watched a whole bunch of the dark mindset of it, and then watching this, it really threw me off. Had I only watched this, I might have a different opinion of it, but it was just seeing the extreme and then seeing the origin, it was weird, man. It's so weird. It is,
and it was meant to be, and it embraces that, and it owns it. And that's what it's all about. Okay, well, thank you for listening to the Fandom Podcast. Thanks for letting us indulge ourselves talking about Batman 66. If you want to share your random fandoms, like Nick said, this episode was kind of his random fandom. If you want to share your random fandom, head over to fandompodcast.com/contact. You can send us messages there. You can head over to facebook.com/fandompodcast. Leave us a post there, comment on one of our posts, and let us know what you would pick for the random fandom, what kind of things you love, maybe a little bit of trivia. Thanks for listening, and until next time.
Are you sure you didn't hit your head during that fight, Batman? I'm sure. Here, swallow this pill.
Why was the Joker wearing a mask? You can't really hide that.
May the fandom be with you.
Seriously, why was the Joker wearing a mask?